is what brought him down, led to his fall, and he knows that it'll work on us too. And he can use it against us. And the Bible tells us there, it's in the notes, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And so we're going to look at this second statement. We covered the first one last week. And you remember that dealt mostly with discontentment. He was not content with the way that God had made him. And when we looked at how he was made last week and how glorious and wonderful he was, we just, it's hard to see why he would be discontent. Why couldn't he be contented with what God had planned for him? But he wasn't. And so we dealt with that. But tonight we're going to look at this second statement, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, found there in Isaiah chapter 14. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. That was the second one that he said. So we're going to look at this, I will exalt. We're just breaking this statement down and looking at some parts of it. I will exalt. Satan's desire was to be higher than all. I will exalt. I mean, he's pretty high right now, as far as, you know, back then. He's pretty high the way he was created. But why does he want to be higher? He wants to be higher than all. Not satisfied with what he is and where he was. He was covetous. He wanted to be higher. He was covetous of God. He was covetous of the other angels, the cherubim. He wanted to be higher than all. Covetous. And we're going to run through these verses. There's a lot of them, but the Bible has a lot to say about it when it comes to covetousness. Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them. And so there is Moses, Jethro's counsel to Moses to put these people, help him out in the work that needed to be done, and the work that, and the counseling work and all of that. They needed men who hated covetousness. Psalm chapter 10, verse 3. We'll move quickly through these. The book of Psalms, chapter 10, verse 3. And this one, again, is another verse on covetousness. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous. The wicked blesses the covetous. In other words, he doesn't see any problem with it. We ought to try to get everything we can. Get what you can what you get, and just don't worry about the other guy. Get for yourself. The idea of the wicked. But it says, blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The Lord abhorreth covetousness. Chapter 119. Chapter 119. Now remember, the reason we're going through these is because these are things that will bring us down and make us not effective in serving the Lord. 119, verse 36. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Follow the word of God. Just do what God says and don't worry about what other people have. Don't be covetous. Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28, verse 16. Chapter 28, verse 16. The prince that wanteth understanding is also a great oppressor, but he that hateth covetous shall prolong his days. Hateth covetous. Exodus chapter 33. Pardon me, Ezekiel. Ezekiel 33, 31. 33, 31. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear my words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. They want what they want. They don't want what God wants. Oh, they'll come to church. And they'll look like they're serving God, but they're not really that interested in really serving God. No. They got what they want. They're covetous for what they want. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. And he said unto them, this is Jesus, take heed, beware of covetousness. Beware of covetousness. That'll be a good warning right there. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. No, no. This life is, it's just not worth investing ourselves into it. We should be investing ourselves in the work of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3. Chapter 5 and verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Well, these are pretty stern warnings from God. He abhorreth covetousness. Colossians. We just can't be. See, covetousness is tied right in with discontentment. We're not content with what we have. We covet other things that we might want. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Mortify, that means put to death. Throw it out. Get rid of it. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. Notice what covetousness, the next one, notice what it's associated with, all these things, which is idolatry. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Why is it idolatry? Because we're putting it before the Lord. Rather than serve the Lord, I want what I want. I want to get what I want to get. If that means I can't be real that faithful for the Lord, then I won't be that faithful for the Lord. Whoops, idol. Hebrews 13, 5. Hebrews 13, 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Much more, what much more could you want than that? He's always with us. Never leave us nor forsake us. What more can you want but for that, than that? Philippians chapter 4. Some people just have to have certain things, and they will go in debt and burden their family down and shortchange the work of God because they just got to have it instead of learning to wait on the Lord and praying and asking God for it and trusting him to bring it about in his time. In patience, we wait upon the Lord. And so this next one here is Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Now, if there's anybody that can really speak on this topic of contentment, it's the Apostle Paul. Can speak on this topic of covetousness, it's the Apostle Paul. He said here, not that I speak in respect of want. He's not speaking in respect of want. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Some people get all bitter because they see other believers have more than what they have. And so they get bitter. They get covetous. Wished I could do what they do. Wished I could drive a nice car like they drive. Wished I could do. Wait a minute. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased. That's when things are going good. Or that's when things are going bad. To be abased, you go down. And I know how to abound. That's when things are good. Paul said, I know what it is to be down. I know what it is to have problems. I know what it is to look like everything's falling apart around you. And I know how it is when things are going good. And whether things are going good or things are going bad, everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I just keep serving the Lord no matter what comes. He's told us in Psalms 34, verse 19, that he delivers us from all our afflictions. Maybe you think he's a liar, but I don't. Say, well, I know people going through tough times and it's been really rough, but hey, someday we're going to get a new body. He delivers us out of all afflictions. And if we learn to trust him, sometimes we don't get out of those afflictions as quickly as we could because we do too much griping and complaining and not trusting God in the midst of the storm. You got to ride the storms out. Paul had learned to do that. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And then if you look there at the reference that I put in parentheses, 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 31, 2 Corinthians 11, looking at verse 23, this is Paul. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. He knew what the scourge was. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 5 times, wow. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils by mine own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without. That which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches, those churches he had started. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will just complain and gripe and say, God, why me? No, he said, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities, The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. What did he say in Galatians 2:20? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He kept his focus on the Lord. Content. We get a little bit of a little teeny splinter, and we're ready to give up and quit. Me, me, poor me, cry, cry. Why can't I have what they have? Why do I have all the problems? Well, because you're going right down the line where Satan wants you to go. Covetous, discontent, what he wants. And it worked on him, work on you. 1 Timothy 6:6-11. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. And while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Paul wrote the book of Philippians while he was in prison. And it is one of the strongest books in the Bible on joy and having joy. There in the book of Philippians. So we go back over to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. He says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. He says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, keep your focus right. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. A lot of Christians get themselves in a bad state because they can only think on the negative. They can only think how bad it is. They don't think on the right things. Things that are lovely, whatsoever things are good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 and 26. Therefore I say unto you, Jesus again speaking, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. That's where we get in trouble. See that thought, I have it circled in my Bible. That's where we get in trouble. We think the battlefield is the mind. And in a real warfare, wherever the enemy is the battlefield. So where is the enemy? Satan, he's a mind blinder. He's blinded the minds of those that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Got to watch your mind, what you're thinking. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Covetous. I'm just not happy where I am. Well, if it's some sin in your life, I can understand. But if it's just because you're just not content, you're just not happy, you're just not satisfied, you're focusing in the wrong thing in your life. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verses 3 and 4. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. See, that's what's wrong. We get the wrong focus. But you don't understand, Pastor, what I want. Well, God is able to take care of us. We just need to keep the focus on him, and he'll give us what we need. He's promised that. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you know that one. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. All thy ways. We overlook things in the Bible. Acknowledge him. You see where focus is coming in? But you don't understand what I want. Focus on the Lord, if that's what you want. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Wow. Satan wanted to get higher. He was covetous. He was not satisfied. He was discontent. But no one can get higher than our God. Here in Isaiah, if you look at chapter 40 and verse 28, chapter 40, verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. That means you can't figure it out. That means that you won't ever be able in your little mind, in my little mind, to figure it out. He's way above us. Chapter 55 and verse 9. 55 verse 9 of Isaiah. And here in this verse, it says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We can't get our thoughts high enough to even come close to him. Psalm 29, verses 9 and 10. Psalms 29, verses 9 and 10. Satan should have known this. Verse 9 says, the voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forest, and in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. That you can. In his temple, they all speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. Can't get higher than him. But Satan knows if he can get us to covet, if he can get us to focus off the Lord and to think that we can get things in our own power, then he can keep us away from serving God. I will exalt. In Luke chapter 12, verse 15, it says the covetousness there is also translated greediness. Greediness. My throne, the next thing we want to consider in this statement, my throne. It reveals something to us. It reveals that God was not on the throne of his heart. When he says, I will exalt my throne, God was not on the throne of his heart. But he was. Satan was. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. We know the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, if God is not on the throne of your heart, you or whatever you have there is another god to you. 1 Peter 3:15. This is a good passage to go to. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts. That word sanctify means to make holy. Make holy. To sanctify the Lord, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. The focus is to be upon the Lord. He's the one that can get the job done. Not me. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. A lot of verses, but we need to see the scripture. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. As ye therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and have established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. For ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Can I trust him that he will give me what I need? Can I trust him that he will take care of me? No, just trust the Lord and let him lead. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. 6:33 of Matthew, and it says here, but figure out how you can get it yourself. No, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You think God's a liar? Think God doesn't keep his promises? Yea, all the promises of God, the Bible says, are yea. And in him, amen, that they're going to happen. Chapter 10 of Matthew, verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Is he saying we should hate our father and mother? No, he's not saying that. He's saying we shouldn't love them more than we love him. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Pretty clear there. Then let's go to verse 26 and through 33 of Luke, chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus is simply saying that the focus has to be upon me. If you want those promises, then the focus has got to be on me. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And he talks about their intending to build a tower and sit down first and think it out. But he goes down to verse 33, so likewise whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Compare that with other scriptures. Not saying we're supposed to give up everything. Sell my house, sell my car, sell my clothes. sell my shoes, sell my glasses. No, it's not saying that. It's saying that those things should not have hold of us. Our possessions should not have hold of us. That's forsaking all that we have. Because He has hold of us. And it's His desire for my life. And I'm going to check out with Him before I try to get what I want. There was a problem with the church there at Laodicea. If you go back to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, they were all increased with good. They were doing very well. And probably they really thought, man, we're something. We're really a great church. But the Lord said, behold, in verse 20, I stand at the door and knock. Outside, knocking on the door. He wasn't in there with them. Any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. That's what we need to check about our lives, is the Lord outside knocking on our heart. I know when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we ask Jesus to forgive us of our sin. Sometimes we say to come into our heart and save us, and we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. But on the throne of our heart is Jesus having to knock, say, hey, you don't have me. You're not trusting me. You're trusting you. Psalm 138. No one ever does much for God who thinks they can do it in their own power. 138 and verse 2. Psalm 138, verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. If he's done that with this word, it ought to be important to us. And these verses that we have looked at on contentment and covetousness and keeping Christ first, they ought to be important to us. He's exalted above his name. 1 Corinthians 2:2. These are familiar passages here. 1 Corinthians 2:2. For I determined, this is what Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. In other words, what is he saying? I'm going to keep the focus upon Christ. You can slap me down, you can stone me, you can scourge me, you can do everything you want to do, but I'm keeping the focus upon Jesus Christ. I'm not going to be discouraged. I know he will come through. In John 15:5, what did Jesus say? Without me ye can do nothing. Made that very clear. Psalm 1, 1, 2, 3. Blessed is the person that's meditating in the Word of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2, we know that. It's only our reasonable service to serve the Lord, to be a sacrifice for Him. And then Ephesians 4, 27 says, neither give place. That word place has the idea of room, any area, anything. Be sober, be vigilant. Don't give him any place to the devil. Ephesians 5, 3. And sometimes, because in our minds we will not keep the focus upon the Lord and we're covetous and discontent, not happy with where we are. I don't know why I have to face all of this. Hey, God is in control. He uses the bad times just like he uses the good times. We need to remember that. Ephesians 5:3 says there again, covetousness is not supposed to be one time. named among us. One time may open the door, the devil, to get us in his trap and get us off course. My throne. Well, who's on the throne in your heart? Who is really calling the shots? Who's really leading? Is it you? Or is it him? You need to consider that. I need to consider that. Satan can get something else on the throne of our hearts. He can keep us from God's will. Above the stars of God, the last part of this thing, he wanted to have authority over all the other angels. Job 38:7 speaks about the angels. Revelation 12:4 talks about the fact that one third of the angels, refers to them as stars, fell. Bible teachers argue back and forth about Job 38:7, whether it's referring to angels. But I think when you put it with Revelation 12:4, you see that the stars here, when Satan said he wanted to exalt himself above the stars of God, the angels of God, he wanted to be the top cheese. He wanted to be on the top. He wanted to be first and have power over others. If you look at Romans 12:16, Romans 12 and verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. He wanted to be first and have power. And if Satan can get us to be power hungry, he can pull us into his trap. I want to be first. I want to be above everybody else. I want people to look at me and think, man, he's really something. Whoa. I'll get you in trouble. That's what Satan wanted. He was discontent and covetous. Those are the first two steps upward. You say, Pastor, you haven't said anything really about pride, because we always hear that it was pride that brought him down. But what you're seeing here as we go through these five I wills is the steps of pride. The steps of pride. Things that are characteristic of pride. And we'll get more to it. We're going to see that as we go through all these other three steps up that brought him down. Steps up that brought him down. And those same things will happen in our life. And he will use them because he knows they were very effective upon himself. He'll use them upon you. The Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. With all thy strength. Sometimes we just don't work at it like we should to keep Christ first in our lives. And we let thoughts come in, thoughts of, well, I wished I had that. Or I wished I could do that like he does or she does. Or I wished that I didn't have this problem or that problem. You know what? Wishing to get out of problems is covetousness. We should be thanking God that we know that whatever the outcome of this problem, he is going to bring it about for good. He is going to teach me something with it, or he's going to correct something that needed corrected, or he's going to bring someone to Christ through my problem. Somehow, some way, he's going to work because he promised. Wake up, Christians. He promised, and he keeps his promises. Don't let the ideas, the thoughts of Satan get in your mind that brought him down. Discontent, not satisfied, covetous, want something different than what God has given us? Be careful that we don't take these same steps that Satan took and fall just like he did from all that God wants us to be. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time to consider these five I wills of Satan and how Satan will use those same I wills to bring us down. I will exalt. I'm not satisfied. I want to be first. I want people to look at me and think well of me. Help us to just realize that we're servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have work to do. And he's the one that will give us praise in the end. Help us not to seek the praise of men. We thank you for your word to guide us. So clear, so plain, to help us to see what we need to see. But in this old flesh of ours, this old weak flesh, so often, we lose on the battlefield of our minds by allowing thoughts there that need to be cast down and thrown down. We thank you. We love you. Pray for those that are not sure they're saved, that they will get it settled. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.